Good morning, church.
It's good to be back in Australia. It's been 9 years since our last visit to Australia, anywhere in Australia. Too long. I need help to open this thing. Thanks. So we're really grateful for being invited back by your beloved pastor. I think I last spoke here in 2015, the year 2015.
It's good to be back.
All right. So I'd like to share, I'm really quite thankful for the choice of songs. It's all about you, Jesus. And then this last one is King of Kings, right? It's in the lyrics. And then I see here King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Because this week I'm going to speak about Jesus. All right. Today and then during the camp and then next Sunday, I guess I'll be back here again. All right. So speak about Jesus, who he is. Sometimes we take for granted and we think we know all about Jesus, but actually there's so much to learn about him. Amen. All right. So let me just get started here. Why did this laptop go to sleep on me? All right. Can we go to Matthew 16, verse 1 to 4? I think some of you don't know me. How many of you have never seen me before? All right, you haven't missed too much. All right. Okay. How many of you are over 78 years old? 78. Over 78. Okay, I don't know why I like you so much. Because I'm 78. And the rest of you, I still like you also, even though you're younger, all right? Okay, so 78 is just a number. It's no excuse, all right, for staying home and not being in the house of the Lord. Good on you, all right? Okay, so let's look at Matthew 16, Matthew 16, verse 1 to 4, okay? Matthew 16, verse 1 to 4. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes are amazing people. They never missed any one of Jesus' meetings. I mean, like they are like more faithful than many Christians, sad to say. But they went there not to worship him or to learn from him. They went there to try and catch him in case he slipped up, made a mistake. They actually went there to give him trouble. Are you with me or not? Shame on us if we miss church. Because the Pharisees, Sadducees, they never missed a meeting, all right? So here's another occasion where they were right there. You see that? And so the Pharisees and Sadducees came up and testing Jesus. It's amazing. People will dare to test God. See? Testing Jesus, and they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. Show your credentials. Prove who you are, what you say you are, you know, testing him. And ask for a sign from heaven. See? Because people live on earth, we see all sorts of things here. And, but there's a heaven. You see that? And sometimes we're really not in touch with heaven and what's going on up there. See? So, somehow they know it's connected. See? So show us a sign from heaven, a sign on earth that we can see and prove that you're connected to heaven. And I think it's so crazy. They're asking for a sign, proof. See, a sign is not the real thing. See, a sign that there's a sign that shows a green man going through a door, exit. You see what I'm saying? That's not the exit. That's just the sign. Where's the exit? The exit is below that sign. Right next to that sign. And that's the door you go out or you come in. Are you with me? The sign indicates the real thing. Show us a sign from heaven. That's so crazy. Because the greatest sign from heaven was the person they were talking to. The very person they were talking to. That is the greatest sign from heaven. Jesus Christ. And where does he live? Where does Jesus live? I know. He's from heaven. Where does he live right now? You Christians. Oh, yeah. See, I got worried. I don't have his address. Maybe he's up in Joondalup. All right. He's right there. See? That's because you believed him. And you invited him in. But not the Pharisees. See that? That's the big difference. You could be right next to the person and not have him in your heart. How sad that is. All right. Anyway, let me move faster. So he replied from that to them, that question. When it is evening, you say it'll be fair weather because the sky is red. See that? All right. So you look at the sky, it's red. Ah, it's going to be fair weather tomorrow. There's a saying when I was in primary school. Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning. Or can be sailors, you know. Shepherd's sailor's delight, sailor's warning. That doesn't matter. So, it will be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today for the sky is red and threatening. See that? So, these signs in the sky, the lower heavens, not the third heaven where Jesus is, indicate what's going to happen tomorrow. Ever since I landed on Friday with my wife, I have been looking at the weather app. You know, because I have to acclimatize to this weather. Make sure I got the right clothes on, don't catch a chill, this and that. Are you with me? So the signs, the weather app, and that's a sign, it's not the weather, it's just an app, tells me how I should be prepared in my dressing, in my activities, so and so forth. Are you with me? Hey, by the way, am I talking too fast? Because some of you are looking at me like, all right, it's okay. So, he says, you know how to discern the appearance of the sky. You know how to discern, you know how to interpret. But cannot discern the signs of the times. There is a natural phenomena that you people, he says to them, you're so clever, you can't predict what's going to happen. See, because God is the one that installed those signs. Red sky in the night, red sky in the morning. Are you with me? It was gone. And you're very clever, you know how to interpret what God put there. But he said, you know what? There are some signs that you guys have no clue. These are signs of spiritual things. Not natural, spiritual. See? And just as it is important to know the natural signs so that you can prepare yourself, your activity, your dressing, your everything. Are you with me? It affects your life. How much more to interpret spiritual signs because it affects your life for all eternity. See that? And so he goes on and says in verse 4, an evil and adulterous nation, generation. Evil and adulterous. It's not that God isn't reaching out to you to try to explain things to you. I'm here, Jesus said. I'm here to explain things to you, make it so clear. It's not that God hasn't tried to reach out to you and help you. He sent me. He sent the prophets before. But you're an evil and adulterous generation. Isn't it? You have no interest in the things of God. And that's where their judgment is going to come. To whom much is given, much more is expected of them. All right. So, he says, an evil and adulterous nation, generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it. You guys have had enough signs. I'm not going to do another sign. I didn't come to entertain you guys. I didn't come here for you to box with me. Came here to save you. And it looks like you don't want to be saved. So he says, no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. And he left them and went away. Now how rude is that? Just like, I'm not going to waste time here. He just turned around and left. Sometimes Jesus is not that politically correct. You can tell. You're interested, I'll help you. I'll help you. But if you're not interested, I can't be wasting time, because I have to give this time to those who are interested. It's not that I hate you. I love you still. The day you call me, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Just call. It's just a call away. Amen. Don't have to recharge any battery. Just call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. All right. Now, during COVID, how many of you remember COVID? Nasty COVID. 2020, 21, 22. That's why I stopped traveling. Planes were not flying. You know where the planes were parked? In Australia. In your desert somewhere. Yeah. Nobody's flying. Churches were closed. You remember that? Remember? How soon we forget, huh? And so, online, Zoom. And then I had all sorts of WhatsApp coming, texting me. Are we in the last days? Is the Antichrist around the corner? I don't know. Instead of talking about the Christ, they asked me about the Antichrist. You know, gloom and doom. See? Everybody was panicking. So many texts. That I even asked the Lord, yeah, when's the last days? Some believe that it already started. Some believe that it was going to start during COVID. Some believe that after COVID. Whatever, all kinds of views. All right. Today, hardly anybody asks me about the last days. Now they ask me, are you going to Hokkaido for holiday, Japan? I say, why? The yen is low. Are you going to Australia? Are you going to Korea? These are the pressing questions today. Sad to say. When things go wrong, people start thinking of God. Huh? It's true. Alright, so I asked the Lord, when did the last days start? And He answered me. And I've been a Christian now 45 years. To my shame, it was only a few years ago that I discovered from a verse, when the last days begin. To my shame. How many of you want to know when the last days begin? It's begun, all right. But when? See, I'll answer that question which you didn't ask. Because I didn't see your hand. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Dear Pentecost, the guy spoke in tongues. A crowd came. Hey, what's this, man? These guys are all praying simultaneously, but they're praying in different languages simultaneously. No one can understand this. And so some Arabs were there, Cretans and what other groups, say, hey, he's praying in my language. He's saying something in my language. He's praising God in my language. And another guy who's in different ethnic group said, hey, he's praising God in my language, you know. Say, hey, what's going on here? No. All right. So Peter had to take to explain to the crowd, because some had genuine questions, is what's going on here? Never seen this before. And some people didn't even bother to ask that question, what's going on here? They just passed judgment and said, just a bunch of people drank cheap wine and they drunk as a skunk. You know what I'm saying? All right. So Peter taking his stand with the 11. This is just a little bit of a side thing, all right? Not the main thing, what I would say. Peter took his stand with the 11. Sometimes we find that ministers can be quite proud. You know? Including me. Can be. It's like, okay, I'm holding the mic, I'm preaching. You guys all stand with me. You know what I'm saying? You support me. You back me. I'm the man of the hour with the power. Kind of silly slogan. See that? I'm the Mr. Big. Peter was preaching, and look at the verse there. Peter stood with the 11. They were not preaching. You couldn't have 12 people preaching. Nobody would understand. You follow what I'm saying? Even if they all spoke the same language. He took the stand with the 11. God's wanting a people that's humble. And they will be very powerful. God gives grace to the, but He resists the, see that? Was a fisherman before. No PhD, no BA, no MA. It's plain old Peter. Alright. So, he raised his voice. He had to raise his voice because there were no microphones in those days. Alright, those sound systems. And he declared to them, men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give heed to my words. Pay attention. For these men are not drunk as you suppose. That's the problem. There's a lot of supposition in this world. We see things, we hear things, and then we have the experts that say something, but it's actually a supposition. It's not reality. Are you with me? All right. It is only the third hour of the day. They're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. See that? So this is, now he starts to explain in verse 16. This is. This is what you hear. This is what you're seeing. People speaking in tongues. All right. This is, I think it was 120, right? Of them. Upper room, they came. Yeah. This is what was. Now, I want you to pay attention here. You may have to look up here because I'm trying to dramatize it. He said, this is. You see these 120 speaking tongues, praising God in your language that you understand? This is. Now, he has to explain what this is because nobody knew. Some said, what is this? And some said, drunk. You know what I'm saying? This is. Now, let me explain to you, he says. Listen up, he says. What was prophesied by the prophet Joel? Joel prophesied about 700 years before that. 700 years. Sometimes prophecies take a long time to come be fulfilled. Be patient. But say, I can't be. I won't live 700 years. You know what I'm saying? So that prophecy is not for you, it's for future generations. Can I hear some things that people want to know prophecy? Give me a word, you know. Give me a word, William, you know. I want to make a decision next month. Certain things, certain words take 700 years. And some take longer even. Are you with me? We are people that just press the button, one and answer, instant answer. All right, anyway, no instant answer that day. This is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel, verse 17. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on all my bond slaves, both men and women. I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will grant wonders in the sky above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon turns into blood color, before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Go back to verse 17. Got to catch this. Very important. I tell you, I got the answer right in the midst of COVID. This is what was prophesied 700 years ago. What was the prophetic word 700 years ago? That in the last days, I will pour forth my spirit. And so the spirit is poured forth on the day of. So the conclusion is the last days began when? Pentecost. And Pentecost was roughly how many years ago? 2,000 years ago. Folks, Pentecost was, the last days began 2,000 years ago. Not next week, not next year, not 10 years from now. it began 2,000 years ago. If the last days began 2,000 years ago, what is today? The last of the last. Pay careful attention. He is coming soon. Be ready. In fact, I think James said it, Book of James. He's right at the door. And he calls him the judge. You see, when he came 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to save. When he comes back soon, he comes to judge this world. James says he's right at the door. That's how close he is. Boy, I had to sober up. Amen. Now, go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. What time do I stop? Noon. You're very gracious. I went to one church, I won't say where, and I was preaching nicely because in the past they always gave me 60 minutes, that church. Something changed. I don't know what it was. Well, I know what it was, but anyway, I won't tell you. And so I was preaching nicely, and then the guy in front, somebody in the guy, holds up a placard, you know, big sign, 15 minutes left. Now I look at the guy, I say, you got to be kidding. No, 15 minutes left. Anyway, let me move on. Thank you for your generosity. I can stop earlier if I want to. Of course, I want to, but sometimes I get carried away. Okay. No, sorry. All right. Second Peter, what did I say? Second Peter, chapter 3, verse what? Let me go to 7. It's interesting. Let me go further up. Let me go to verse 2. Verse 2. Alright? You should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets. Remember the words. We tend to forget the words of prophecy. I mean, genuine prophecy, not, you know, weird prophecy. There's another kind. Alright? And the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come. So on the day of Pentecost, there were mockers there. Ah, they're just drunk as a skunk. You know what I'm saying? All right. Mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. They're not interested in God. They make fun of God. And saying, now this is one of the mockeries. Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Where? Now in Singapore, Malaysia, you know, we say, where God? Where God? You know? It's like, no lah. You know? No such thing. Where? Everything is the same. Sun rises in the morning, sets in the evening. Everything goes on. Oh bloody, oh blada. Life goes on. Pop song from the 60s, alright? And when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time, Noah's day, was destroyed being flooded with water. So what he's saying here, Peter is saying, hey, don't forget, God has totally destroyed this world before. He saved 8 people, Mr. Noah, Mrs. Noah, and the family. Total of 8 people. And God's provision was the ark. Make an ark. The plan was from God, but Noah had to make the ark. Are you with me? Work together. Work together with God. But Peter's saying, God's destroyed this world before. What's going to stop him destroying it again? First time water, and God swore, I'll never destroy by water again. He never said, I'll never destroy full stop. This next one is by fire. Amen? Now, whether it's water or fire, it's destroyed. All right. Okay. But by his word, verse 7. By his word, the same word that destroyed the world in Noah's day, by his word, the present heavens and earth. Do you know the present earth was not Adam's earth? Are you with me? The present earth is not Noah's earth as Noah knew it. That's what I mean. As Adam knew it, as Noah knew it. The present earth is post-flood. Huh? Sometimes you just think it's same old earth. It's different. It's post-flood. All right. The present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire. Well, that word reserved, that means God is reserving this world. And what's the plan for this world? It's reserved for fire. Now, we think of reserve is reserve a place for me. Reserve a seat for me. Reserve this for me. Reserve this coat I want to buy. I don't have the cash now. Reserve it for me. It's like a booking. And God has a day reserved for this world to be destroyed by fire. And that word reserve means when God reserves something, He's reserved. You reserve something and the airlines may say, I'm sorry, I lost your reservation. The other day, I was so eager to fly to Perth. And then I happened to look in my app, you know. I'm sometimes quite obsessive when it comes to certain apps. I look at it and say, 1 hour delay. They rascals never told me a thing when I checked in. After I checked in then, 1 hour. And I quickly texted you. Otherwise, I didn't want you waiting at the Perth airport for me for 1 hour. Present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire. Kept. As if the word reserve is not enough. Kept. For the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men and women. You are okay if you're godly. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, boy. Just make sure that you're right with God. Amen. Now, verse 8, very fascinating. Do not let this one fact escape your notice. Fact. See, all of those people say, come on la, oh bloody, life goes on. I mean, same old. So predictable. Where God last days, where? He said, don't let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like a thousand years, and 1,000 years is like one day. See? In other words, God doesn't use Google Calendar for His reserved dates. He schedules. He has His own calendar. What's His calendar like? 1,000 years is like a day. And a day in God's calendar is like 1,000 years in your Google Calendar. Now, what does this mean? I read somewhere, commentary, from Adam to Jesus Christ was 4,000 years. I have to believe that. I mean, I'm not a scholar. From Jesus to here is how many years? 2,000 years. So 4,000 years, Adam to Jesus, 4,000. Jesus to today, 2,000 plus. All right? Are you with me? Altogether, how many thousand? 6,000. And in God's calendar, how many days? 6 days. Folks, we are in day 7 of God's calendar. We are in day 7. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're in day 7. Oh. If that doesn't put the fear of God in you, I don't know what will. Verse 9. You know, it's amazing. Peter was a fisherman don't think he went to school. I think he went from the crib when he start walking and his dad starts putting him in the business. You know what I'm saying? In fact, the people that threw them in jail said, these are unschooled men. And how come they are so smart and so much wisdom? Ah, they have been with somebody. Who have they been with? Verse 9, the Lord is not slow about His promise. What is the promise? The promise of judgment. When we think of promising, oh, blessings, blessings. No. Reserved for fire. Reserved. Kept. Promise. Three different words to drive home the point. It's coming. Reserved for fire. Kept for fire. And what is the last word he used? Not slow about his promise. It's a promise. As some of you count slowness. Yes. Your calendar, slow, thousands of years. But God is patient towards you. Don't test the patience of God. Why is He patient? Not wishing any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Some people think God is an angry God, just wants to whack people. When I got saved, before I got saved, you know what was my picture of God? My picture of God was someone with a big stick, if there was a God. I was an atheist. Sometimes I was agnostic, you know. And big stick just to whack me, because I was quite naughty in school, you know. And when I was 16 years old, secondary four, I was in high school, the last year of high school. And I was caned by the principal for running away from school, you know. And I think it was an Aussie. He was our principal was an Aussie in those days, and he was he's a man of the cloth, Cannon something. I forgot his first name. Adams. I think he was from what's that island? Tasman. I think it was maybe from there. 16 years old, I got caned in the principal's office. I was naughty. I didn't like it, but I look back years later, I said, thank God for the caning. He's patient towards you, not wishing anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. This is a window now, and it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller for your friends who are not saved, for your neighbors who are not saved, for your relatives who are not saved, to get saved. They just need to call upon the name of the Lord. But why will they call upon the name of the Lord? They will call upon the name of the Lord if you talk to them about the Lord. And at the camp, I'll explain how to get people saved. Amen. Not that hard. We make it harder than it is. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, loud sound, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up, burnt to a cinder. Don't want to be around for that. Amen? Let me move on. How many are starting to get frightened already? Godly fear. Which is a good kind of fear. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews 11 very quickly. God, Hebrews 11 verse 1, sorry. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. I'm actually going slower now than I usually do because giving you time to get used to me, you know what I'm saying? Some other places I go faster, but I'm not saying you're dumb. You know what I'm saying? I'm just giving you time to adjust to me. You know, don't hear what I didn't say, all right? I'm just being nice, all right? Because sometimes some people can say, oh, this guy is overwhelming, you know. Especially the younger people, they find this kind of preaching a little bit jarring, you know what I'm saying? True or not? And young people don't show much response. God loves young people. Amen. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways. This proves it. God's always reaching out. People say, nah, didn't hear God. Where's God? He's always spoke long from long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways. Verse 2. In these last days. Hey, book of Hebrews was written about 2,000 years ago. You know what I'm saying? And they were calling it the last days already. Are you with me? Because we saw early on, Peter preached, these are the last days. You see, so when we read the Bible, New Testament, we got to understand all those apostles, prophets, church members, deacons, elders, everybody at that time thought Jesus coming soon. In their day. Because to them it was already the last days. They didn't realize there's another 2,000 years. Are you with me? That's why he said in these last days. It was written 2,000 years ago. They really thought Jesus coming soon. Maranatha. Come Lord Jesus. Are you with me? And because they really thought Jesus was coming so soon, many of them lived godly lives. And sometimes it's good to know that He's coming soon, then He will help us to live, want to live godly lives. But if we think He's going to be another 20 years, then we can be lax. If you know the exam is next week, it's different than you know the exam is next year. See what I'm saying? So in these last days, He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. So God spoke through the prophets for, since Adam's time. He's been speaking to His people. But He said in the last days, He's speaking to His Son. Now I want to go very quickly to chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2 verse 1. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. Hey, the Son is speaking. Not just a prophet, not just Moses, not just Nathan, not just Samuel, not just David, the prophet, king, he is speaking through His Son. If you don't even listen to His Son, and none of those prophets who spoke were saviors, not a single one. If you don't speak through this final prophet, this one, Jesus, the Son, ain't no hope for you or for me. So we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we will not drift away. Peter said, remember. If you don't remember, you start what? Drifting away. And then after drifting too long, you fall away. Before you fall away, you drift away. There's a great drifting happening in the church right now. Pastors thought after COVID, after lockdowns, folks will come back to church, right? No. Church after church, I speak to the pastors. We've lost 20% of the people, 30%, some even 50%. They just don't come back. And when they don't come back, they don't bring the money with them. So the offerings also has gone down. Are you with me? That's reality. Drifting. There's a great drifting away. And then Jesus prophesied in the last days, many will fall away. What those fall away? Those who are drifters. Turn to your neighbor, look at them, says, please don't drift away. Don't drift away. Not for my sake, for your sake. Amen. All right, very quickly, move on. Luke chapter 8, verse 6 to 21. Luke chapter 8, verse 6 to 21. No, sorry. 16, not 6. Luke chapter, what did I say? Luke chapter 8, verse 16. All right. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container. I mean, it's so ridiculous. You light a lamp. Now, you're talking about maybe an oil lamp in those days. They didn't have electricity when this was written. No one lights an oil lamp or any kind of lamp and puts it away where it can't be seen. You put it in a prominent position, it gives light to the whole house, the whole room. Are you with me? That's the purpose of the light. You don't hide it. And you don't cover it with a container, or you put the light under a bed. Nobody does that. But you put it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. So what he's saying is, God's word is like light. God doesn't hide his word in a corner somewhere, play hide and seek with you. So far, all that we've read is God is doing his best to get our attention. He doesn't want anyone to perish and go to hell. He does not want that. He wants all to be saved. So when he sends his servants to preach and prophesy and do all this stuff, is to get people saved. He doesn't hide in a corner somewhere. He's doing his best to reach out. I remember the day I got saved, you know. And there was joy in my heart. I got saved. I got saved in my bedroom, by the way, listening to a cassette tape. How many of you remember cassettes? All right, I was listening to a cassette tape. Someone was sharing his testimony. Some guy in Florida, and I was hearing his testimony, and I got saved in my bedroom. I cried and cried for 90 minutes. It was such a good cry. I played the whole 90 minutes again, cried some more. And I cried with joy because I got saved. And my wife came in and saw me crying, and she thought, what's happening to him, you know? Thank God she didn't scold me. She just left quietly. God was doing business with me. I was getting saved. And then I said to God, where were you? I got saved at the age of 33. I said, where were you all this time? And then he said, I was looking for you. You kept running away. And I said, silly, you know. All right. So, nothing is hidden, verse 17, that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. All right, so this is important, verse 18. So take care how you listen. I'm trying to drive home this point. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, says, pay more careful attention. God speaking through his son now. All right. Verse 18. Take care how you listen. Take care how you listen. I'll say more about this. Because you see, In the last days, Jesus prophesied there will be many, many false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, false pastors, false everything. Are you with me? False Christs even. So I'll share that at the camp. How to detect what's true and what's false. Amen. You excited about going to the camp? All right. So take care how you listen. See, people listen. But how do you listen? See, whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Now, for many years, you know, whoever has more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken. You know, people use these verses for offering time. Jesus wasn't talking about offerings. He's talking about his words. Are you with me? I hope you're not guilty of that.
I'm not trying to be, to whack you. But, I've heard too many of these kind of, sometimes I cringe to hear pastors use mangle verses, you know what I'm saying? And I have to be careful I'm not self-righteous, you know what I'm saying? But they mangle the words and use the words for what they want. Be careful how you listen. Whoever has, he's not talking about money. Whoever has taken care how they listen, more shall be given to them. God will speak more. And whoever has not taken care to listen, even what you think you have already will be lost. So I've applied myself for the last few years. I said, God, I want to listen so clearly. And if I don't understand, I want to ask you to clarify. I'm not going to suppose this, suppose that. Because it's too close to your coming. I must get it right. I said, to whom? And God has been speaking a lot to me. More in the last few years, more than all my previous 30 years prior to that. See that? And if you've not taken care how to listen, even what you think you have will be taken away. You become dumb and dumber. Say it crudely, but I've met people who really, you're shocked by what they're saying nowadays, Christians. Because they have not been careful with listening to God, that what they thought they knew is even gone. Are you with me? Because the evil one just loves to take it away from you. Alright, let me move on very quickly. So, one of the things, Luke chapter 9. This was 1.5 years ago. My friend asked me to preach in his church. He was away on holiday. He said, Christmas is coming. I think this was the week before Christmas. And it was 2022. He was away and he said, can you please preach? And I don't like it, Well, it's not my preference that if a pastor says, preach from this passage. You know what I'm saying? So I'm so glad your pastor never told me you must preach this and that. I think he prefers that I hear from the Holy Spirit. So, and I'm grateful for that. But anyway, this guy says, preach from here. Anyway, they were going through a series or something, and he said, preach from there. So, all right, okay, preach from Isaiah chapter 9. And it's common, this is so common during Christmas time. All right, here's the verse. A child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. A child will be born to us. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of hosts, of the Lord of hosts, will accomplish it. So a child, I saw this, I said, my goodness, I mean, every pastor has preached this in Christmas. What new thing can I say? Then the Lord highlighted something. The Lord, a child will be born to us. Jesus, the child, born in a manger. All right? Became a son. Right? He didn't stop there. Some faiths still have him on the cross. Some still have him in the manger. Are you with me? I know you're past that. He's no longer in the manger, in the crib. He's no longer just the son, carpenter's son. Now he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. See that? He's seated on a throne right now. He's not in a crib. He's not on a cross. The cross was 2,000. He left the cross 2,000 years ago. See that? Let's not get stuck there. He's here now. King of kings, Lord of lords. So a child will be born to us. Now this was Isaiah prophesying several hundred years before the birth of Jesus. See? Several hundred years. So he said, a child will be, future. A son will be. And the government will rest on his shoulders. Government. King of kings, Lord of hosts. Lords. Government. And he says there will be no end to the increase of his government. That his government will increase and increase and increase and increase. End of peace. Now people want peace and prosperity. Happy New Year. Happy prosperous New Year, you Chinese folks. Asian folks. Prosper. Peace. Good luck. You can't have true peace, true prosperity, without Jesus being king in your life. Amen. Will be fake peace and fake joy and fake everything else. No end. You think go to heaven will be boring? You'll discover peace will increase because the government of Jesus will increase in your life. Now here's the shocking thing. Round about that time I told you I was preparing to preach on Christmas, right? So everybody sends me those e-cards. Nobody sends Hallmark cards anymore. You know what I'm saying? I got one weird friend who sends me Hallmark cards. So anyway. Sends me all these things. You know, they send me in a WhatsApp. And I looked at them, I got shocked. Because this is what those greeting cards say. Those that quote this verse. They said, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And they jump straight to, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. They left out that one phrase, and the government will be on his shoulders. Was somebody dyslexic when they designed those cards? So I Google images. 9 out of 10 left out, and his government will be on his shoulders. Somebody, unseen, doesn't want the government of Jesus. And his name is? What's his name? Satan. And these are Christmas greetings. And Christians are sending those greetings, not even realizing. They don't even check their Bible. Is this correct or not? Must be la. Christian word. Isaiah word. Be careful how you listen. Be careful how you read. It makes a world of difference. Now I realize this. That the word government has not been a good word recently in the last few decades. There's been corruption of public government, government of corporations, government of churches. Hello? Sexual immorality, stealing, cheating. Some have gone to jail. Are you with me? I acknowledge why people don't like that word government. But we're not talking about human beings. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. Real government. I'll tell you a story. When I got saved, I told you I got saved in my bedroom. Then I learned to pray, see. Start to pray in my own, you know, baby prayers in the beginning. So I'll pray, you know. And then one day God stopped me. God said this to me. He said, George, why do you call me Savior? You call me God. You call me Jesus. You call me Master. You call me Lord. why you never call me father? Well, I didn't realize that. I called him everything but father. And before I could answer him, he said, but I'm not like your dad. Are you with me? I had a very bad relationship with my dad. When I was in my late teens, I think I had a big fist fight with my father, and he kicked me out of the house. I was that kind of guy. You see? And so, dad and father was a bad word to me. Are you with me? Because of my experience. And he said to me, you call me God, Lord, Savior, Master. You never call me father. And then he knew why. He said, because I'm not like your dad. And that set me free. From then on, I could call him father. Are you with me? See, government is a bad word to many, many, many people, including Christians. But we're not talking about your prime minister or finance minister or CEO or whatever. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the sinless one. Can I hear an amen? We can absolutely trust his government. Absolutely, absolutely trust his government. Because he's got nothing but a good heart. God has an impeccable heart. He thinks of nothing but the best for us. So get that out of your system that I can't trust God. You absolutely can trust him. Amen. Because he died for you, man. So I'm going to close with this. Let's go to John chapter 2. Are you okay or not? Huh? You uncomfortable? If you need to go. I mean, go to... Well, like Jesus said to Judas, whatever you do, do quickly. Okay, come back. No, I'm just kidding. Seriously, no offense. If you need to go. I mean, to the boys' room or the girls' room. All right. Talk about listening carefully. All right. So, 6 years ago, I still remember February 2018. Same pastor asked me to preach. You know, the one that asked me to preach 1.5 years ago. I don't know, God uses him lah. 6 years ago, he asked me to preach because they're going through John. All right, so this was the passage he asked me to preach from. On the third day, On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And the wine ran out, and the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to do with us? We're just guests. It's not our problem. We're not in charge of the catering, you know. And it sounds so unpastoral of Jesus. Sometimes he talks funny. All right. And what does it have to do with us? My hour has not yet come. His hour to do signs and wonders. All right. Whatever, and his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. That's a bossy Jewish mother, right? Now, there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Big pots, all right, full of water. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. You got to understand, there's the guy in charge of the wedding feast, right? And he's panicking. They ran out of wine, and it's embarrassing, like anything. And then he's probably deep in thought, how am I going to fix this problem, you know? And then the mother of Jesus, I mean, she observes the situation, and she whispers to him, you know, they ran out of wine. And he says, what's that got to do with us, you know? And then she just ignores her son, and she goes and tells her servants, all right, whatever my son tells you, just do it. Okay, like, wow, woman, you're bossy, huh? Okay, but anyway, the servants did it. Amazing, they did it. Now, you got to understand those water pots. Why were they empty? Those water pots contained water for guests to come and wash their feet. That's why they were empty. All the guests were in the wedding. Are you with me? And here Jesus tells the servants, fill the water pots with water. Now the servants are going like, what? More guests coming? That guy's going to die who's in charge of the catering. Are you with me? And then, who is this goon? We ran out of wine for the mouth. Not water to wash the feet. Who's this weird guy? And his mother. Alright. But the amazing thing is they obeyed. And then the next ridiculous Jesus, next thing Jesus says, very ridiculous, draw some of the water out and take it to the head waiter, and they took it to him. Well, the master of the feast, some version, took the water. Now you picture this. The guy is panicking, ran out of wine, he's trying, crisis. And then the servants come and say, have a drink. Did I say I'm thirsty? Did I ask for water? Scold the servants here. Anyway, where's this water from? It's not drinking water. It's water for washing the feet. You know what I'm saying? It's a ridiculous scene. You got just got to be there. That's how I read my Bible. That's why it's so interesting. Amen. More interesting than your drama. I got no time for YouTube, you know. I read the Bible and it's just fascinating. A lot of Christians are boring, lah. It's because you don't be your own creative director, lah. Where is this water from? Anyway, he drank. Then it had become wine. Verse 9. And he did not know where it came from, but the servants knew. And so the head waiter called the bridegroom, because the bridegroom is the one paying the bill. And he said, every man serves the good wine first. And when the people have drunk freely and can't tell the difference, then they bring the cheap stuff out. Are you with me? But you rascal, you scammed me, huh? You pranked me. You hid the best stuff and had me go through panic. I really got pranked. Good by you. And verse 11 says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So I said, Lord, what's this all about? And he said one word to me, disruption. Disruption. He said one word to me, disruption. This was 2018 February. Now, you know, when we hear, we apply to ourselves. My wife had cancer end of 2016. 2017, we hardly travel for her to recuperate. Okay? By the way, that was her first cancer. Right now, she's got her second cancer. Right now. I panicked and I told your pastor, I said, I don't think I'm coming. I'm so sorry. And my wife scolded me and says, I'm going. I'm going to Perth. So, good on you. I had to tell your pastor, actually, my wife got more faith than me. Sometimes things happen, lah. Disruption. And this is what the Lord said to me. See? So, I thought that what disruption meant, 2018, she's just recovering from cancer. Don't tell me she's going to get hit. We're going to get hit by something else. I got it so wrong. Disruption came 2 years later by the name of COVID. And it wasn't just Mr. and Mrs. E having disruption. It was the whole world was disrupted. And by the way, I don't think the season of disruption is over. It's now, right now, it's like a breather. You know what I'm saying? Another big one's coming.
When? Don't know. What's going to look like? I've got my theories. Going to be a big one. Bigger than the last. Because, you know, Jesus said, one of the signs is, it's like a woman in labor. And those of you given birth, you understand. The first pain is almost like, I mean, I'm just hearing, but hearsay, all right? I've never given birth, all right? So, hearsay. First one is like just a slight little thing, and then progressively gets more intense. And the time lapse gets shorter and shorter. So right now, it's like a breather till the next one comes. That's where we are. All right. But here's what the Lord said. Don't worry about disruption. If you're close to the Lord, God will fix the disruption for you. And not only just fix it to back to where it was, it can even be better. Water too. And not just cheap wine, the best wine. See that? Now I've got stories to tell from the Bible. During the camp. Is it too late for them to sign up for the camp? Some of them might want to come, all right, to hear God's word, not to see me. All right, so, yeah. Some people actually not only survived COVID, they came out better because they trusted the Lord, they looked to the Lord. Okay? That's the key. You see, Jesus was there as a guest. And what his mother was telling the servants, don't just look at him as a guest. Look at him as the guy in charge. Do whatever he says, no matter how ridiculous it sounds, just do it. You with me? Change his status from guest to king that you listen to. Are you with me? If you have this in your house, sorry, but it bothers me when I go to some people's house and there's a nice big placard there. Jesus Christ is the guest in this house. Don't make him a guest. Make him the king of your life. Amen. Then very quickly, and I'm closing with this one. Verse 13. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers seated at their tables, and he made a scourge, a whip of cords, and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. And to the ones who were selling doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my father's house a place of business. And his disciples remembered that was written, zeal for your house will consume me. And the Jews said to him, what sign? Oh, they always love signs. What sign do you show us that as your authority for doing these things? What did he do? He shut down the temple. He shut down the church service. He walked in, he shut down everything. Threw the money on the floor. And you know what happens when you throw money on the floor? Everybody helps you to pick it up. You know what I'm saying? But it goes into their pocket somehow. Doesn't go back to the offering bag. Are you with me? He shut church down. And the Lord said to me, all right. This world is a fallen world. There will be disruption. No matter how you plan, and it happened to me. Scoot Airlines delayed 1 hour. Things happen. Because it's a fallen world. No matter how they plan. Unexpected disruption. But then the next scene where he goes and shuts in the church service, this is where the Lord said to me. Sometimes the disruption is caused by a fallen world, but I will fix it if they'll turn to me. Sometimes they don't have a problem. I cause the disruption. I disrupt things. especially my house, my church. See that? Some churches really were very hit hard by COVID. Well, the whole world suffered. Some churches never recovered till this day. Because God says, I was not pleased. I was not pleased. They have caused wrong, taught wrong, lived wrong in my house. And I caused disruption. Why did he cause disruption? Because this is the season right now. He's no longer a child will be born to us. A son. He's now king. Are you with me? The king's coming soon. And the king has a right to shut things down that displease him. So may we take real serious... What's the word I want to say? Pay real careful attention. This is the season. It's not fun and games. It's where Jesus is asserting his government. He's making his government felt. Those who submit to his government, love his government, they will come through blessed. Those who resist his government, always, you know, trying to push the boundaries with the Lord, you feel the pain when I assert my government. You will feel the pain. So let us pray. Maybe we stand. Can we stand? You've been sitting a long time. Do you give altar calls in your church? Some churches don't do. Would you want to? Maybe we'll just have a simple thing, you know. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a visitor. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your King. This morning, I invite you to just come forward and then have the pastor pray with you to lead you in a prayer to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's that simple. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, will be saved. Cleansed from all your sin. You'll have no sin the moment you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. His blood cleanses you and you'll have zero sin. You may have a ton of sin right now as a sinner, not yet a Christian. And you come forward and you say, I call upon the name of Jesus to save me. You'll have zero sin. It's that simple. And you say, that's ridiculous. Yeah, it is, but it's true. His blood cleanses us from all sin. So if that's you and you're not a Christian, come forward and call upon the name of the Lord. What's the name of the Lord? Jesus. And he'll save you from all your sin. Amen. And your name will be written in heaven in a book, recorded there. Otherwise, right where you are, if you reject Jesus, you're headed for hell. Hate to say that, but it's true. So come forward to receive. And then the second thing is, if you have always looked to Jesus as, you know, the child, the Savior on the cross, the one blesses me, and you never look to Him as King, never. You think you're the King, you're the Queen. You decide what you want, and you never bother to ask Him whether it pleases you or not. This morning I'm going to encourage you, come forward, please. Come forward for your own sake, not for me. And say, Jesus, you know, by me coming forward, I'm acknowledging you as King. I'm acknowledging you as King. You're in charge of my life. You're not a guest in my life. I do as I please. No, you are King. I do as you please. So as they play and sing, you come forward, all right, to receive Christ for the first time, or come and say, Lord, forgive me. I have been playing the fool as a Christian, and I come to surrender. Amen. Give you the mic.